Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, a children's moment from our youth pastor, Justin Livingston, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor, Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m. and in our parking lot for our drive-in service at 11:30 a.m. here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us today. It's great to see you all here inside of our sanctuary. Welcome our friends who are joining us on Facebook Live or through our church website as well. Wherever we find ourselves here on this beautiful day, we give thanks and praise to God for creating it and making it here and for allowing us to be together for worship. And so we hope and pray that God will fill us and bless us as we've gathered together. As we are gathered together, for those of us here inside of our sanctuary, we invite you to take out your worship bulletin, and on the right-hand side, you'll find a little tear-off sheet that says Connect. So we invite you to tear that off now and connect with us, and let us know that you're here with us in church today. You can also jot down prayer concerns or praises that you have in your life there on the backside. You can tick one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about getting involved in the work and ministry of our church. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates that are located outside the sanctuary doors following our worship service today. We also hope that on your way in, you picked up one of our little all-in-one communion kits. We'll need those for communion later on in our worship service. For those of us who are joining us online, you can also go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org, and you can scroll down and you can download our worship bulletin for today so you can follow along. We also invite you to have ready there at your house the elements of communion that you might need as we gather around our table later on in our worship service. Here as we gather together on this beautiful Sunday morning, we are without Pastor Brooke joining us in worship today. Unfortunately, she is ill this morning. She tested positive for COVID yesterday morning. And so she's in our prayers for healing and strength, and we hope that she feels better soon. We certainly miss her being with us in worship today. She was able to record her prayer and also her reading, and so we'll see her up on the big screen later on in our worship service. We're praying for all kinds of folks in the life of our congregation and in our community. It seems that everybody these days is in some state of being sick or recovering, and so we pray for God to be with us for healing and for hope. And we're so glad, even in these days when we can't be in the same space in the sanctuary for worship, we're so glad to have an online worship option. And so we pray for God to fill us and bless us in this time. Looking ahead to things happening in the life of our church, maybe you noticed on your way in that on the right-hand side of the Welcome Center, we are starting a special immediate homeless shelter drive. We received word from our friends at the homeless shelter here in town that they are in need of special items, especially in these cold and winter months. And so you can see those items and you can learn more about it at the little booth outside the Welcome Center. And so we hope that you'll stop there after church today. Other things are happening in the life of our church. We had a great Wednesday night M&M program for our kids up through fifth grade. On Crosstown High, group for middle schoolers and high schoolers meets tonight at 5:30. And we have a couple of Bible studies, our Zoom Wednesday night Bible study, and then one that meets at 10 o'clock here on Thursday mornings in the life of the church. And so wherever we find ourselves in life and work, we hope that we can deepen our faith and grow in our faith together. Lastly, maybe you heard, saw on the screen or read in the caller that today was our accompanist Julie Kirk's last Sunday with us on staff. She's been our accompanist in our traditional service for over 9 years and has done us a wonderful job and has been a wonderful part of the life of our church. And so we offered her a gift to give thanks for all that she's done for us. And there was a reception for her in the fellowship hall in between our two services. And so if you know Julie, if you see her at the hospital or you see her around town, certainly offer our congratulations and thanks for doing such a wonderful job for so many years. She'll be retiring and moving to Colorado to be closer to her family here very soon. We hope and pray that God will bless us and fill us as we've gathered for worship. Let's now stand up and say good morning to the friends around us. You can wave hello to the folks online with the camera over my head. Thank you.
Sound of your name. Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your power to love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth that I see.
Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for this new day that is made in your sight. We give you thanks for all the ways in which we experience your grace and peace and your love in our life. And so we pray that as we set this time aside for worship, that you will fill us and that you will bless us. You will speak to us once again your words of hope and peace, that we might experience the presence of your Holy Spirit alive and moving here and now. So we offer our lives in this service of worship to you in the name of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We invite you to find your seats, and as you're doing so, we invite the young kids of our church to come on down forward and meet me for today's children's moment.
Come on. God gave his son, yes, he gave his only son. Jesus is my Savior and Redeemer and friend. Takes my sins away. My saving grace, gonna praise his name all over the place. Singing, he will rock you. Time? Yeah, he will rock you.
Hello, how are you all doing today? How's it going today? Oh, man. Can we try that again? Are you like a little enthusiastic? Let's try it again. How are you all doing today?
Glad.
Thought you got some days. That's all right. We are glad that you are here. What do I have here? A phone. This is my phone. Do you play on your parents' and grandparents' phones sometimes?
Yeah, because I also have a phone.
Fantastic. That's awesome. What do you like to play on your parents' and grandparents' and on your phone sometimes? What do you like to do? You play games? Yeah. We like to play Ski Safari at our house. We have all kinds of fun games. We have a Bible app on my phone. We've got social media. I like to look at the scores. I like the maps. One of my favorite things on the phone is this. You know what this is?
Yeah.
A calculator? What do you do with a calculator? You calc. Yes, you do calc. You calculate. Exactly. Exactly right. So you put the numbers in. So let's try 8 plus 5 plus 5 plus 6 plus 4 plus 1 plus 2 equals 26. How about that? Let's clear it out. Try it again. Okay, that's 9 divided by 2.56 equals 7.2. How about that? Now, if I mess up, now watch this. Okay, 8 minus 5. Wait, hold on a second. That's not right. Hit the clear button. 9 minus 4. Nope, that's not right. This little button right here clears everything out. Isn't that cool? It's like it is the all clear button. It makes everything that was there before go away. That's exactly right. I got fat thumbs, and so that gets in the way of putting the numbers in. But the all clear button makes everything go away, and you get a fresh start. The Bible says that Jesus comes in our life and that he offers us a clean slate and forgiveness of our sins. And so it's almost like an all clear button there for us so that we can know God's love in our, hang on one second, so we can know the good news of God with us and that we can have a fresh start. Isn't that great news? That is fantastic. That's what we learn about every single time we come together for church. We learn about in our lives. Yeah. Yeah, isn't that awesome stuff? Let's say a prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Oh, loving God, we're grateful for the good news of salvation that comes to us through Jesus and for the forgiveness of sins and the clean slate that we receive. And so for that, we give thanks and praise. And all of God's children shout it out. Amen. Thanks for coming forward, you all. Good to see you.
God gave His Son, yes, He gave His only Son. Jesus is my Savior and Redeemer and friend. He takes away the way. My saving grace, gonna praise His name all over the place. Singing, He will rock you.
Together in prayer, we have several from our congregation to keep in our prayers. We want to pray for Jess Petty. His father passed away a few weeks ago, and so we continue to pray for Jess and his family during their time of grief. We also lift up the Christofferson family. Chad's brother, Chris, passed away last week, and so we keep the entire extended Christofferson family in our prayers. We also pray for the family of Warren Johnson. Warren was, of course, a beloved member of our congregation, and so we will miss him very much here, and we continue to keep his family in our prayers during this time. Let us go to God in prayer now. Loving and ever-present God, we give thanks for this beautiful morning. We count it a privilege and an honor to come before you in worship this day. We give you thanks for a new day to draw a new breath, a new day filled with new opportunities. In a world where we scarcely know what we can rely on, you are a God who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We know that you are there, walking with us through the best of times and the hardest of times. Our days are sometimes filled with frustrations and challenges. We pray that at those times, when we are overwhelmed with hardship, we see your light illuminating our path to walk ahead. Open our eyes to see where you are leading us, and open our spirit and will to follow. Help us to see the many ways you are working in the world. Open us to observe beyond ourselves. Create in us space to be servants and to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray today for the concerns that are weighing on us this morning. We pray for healing for our friends and loved ones who are in the hospital or going through health challenges. We pray that your divine touch would be upon all the patients and healthcare workers. We pray for strength for any who are going through more than they feel they are able to handle. We pray that you would intervene and lift up those who are struggling with life. We pray for those who go without, those seeking jobs, those without homes, those without warm enough clothing, or without enough food on the table. Bless them, O God. We also pray for all who are affected by COVID-19. We pray that you'd be with the ill and with their families. Oh God, we pray for an end to this pandemic. Make us to stand strong through this hardship that continues. We pray for those who are isolated and alone, for those who have lost loved ones to the disease, and those who struggle with long-term effects of their illness. Oh God, we lift up to you our congregation members who have lost loved ones here recently. We pray for Jess Petty. We pray that you would comfort him and bring him peace through his grief over his father. We also pray for the Christofferson family and their loss of Chad's brother, Chris. We pray that you would be their constant companion moving forward. We also pray for Warren Johnson. We give thanks for who he was, for our congregation, and for the world. We lift up his family in our prayers and for his friends and loved ones here within the church. Finally, O God, we pray for your peace and unity to prevail in our world. Humanity certainly cannot find true peace without your holy intervention. And so we pray that you would send it to this world, unify our country, heal the divisions, and open the minds of the decision makers to compromise and sacrifice. We pray that your divine will would be done. We pray all of this in your name and in the name of your Holy Son, whom you sent on behalf of every person in the world. We give you thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ, and we pray together the prayer that he taught his disciples, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, as we open up God's Word to continue on in our sermon series, How Can I Keep From Singing?, we open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed.
We are continuing today with our How Can I Keep From Singing sermon series. The series that is all about hearing a message of hope and love here in the midst of the dead of winter. We know these are the dog days of winter. It has been so cold this past week. We've been cheering when it gets up to double digits. It's 11 degrees outside. Yes, praise God Almighty. It is so hot outside. It is 11 degrees. The snow keeps falling, snow upon snow upon snow, and so it's this time of year where it simply just seems to be cold and gray every single day. Even like when the sun shines like it is now, it'll be cold and gray before we know it. And so at this time, it is hard to find good news, and it's hard to feel good at times. But that's what this sermon series is about, is that even though we come with all these experiences in life, there is good news to be found. There are still things to sing about, there is joy in our life. There's a message of hope and new life in the scriptures here in the midst of the dead of winter, even in our part of Iowa. And so that's what we're about here today. Now, don't you wish that you could have known more about who Jesus was and is in like his growing up years? If you've ever read the Bible or heard some of the stories about Jesus, then maybe you know that there's not much about Jesus in his early years. In fact, there's only two stories about Jesus showing up whenever he was young. There's one whenever he was 8 days old and his parents took him into the sanctuary there in the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicated. And it was like the same thing that we do whenever young parents bring their children to be dedicated here in our church. There in the temple, the family was blessed. Jesus was blessed and prayed for in the midst of worship when he was 8 days old. That's one story. The second story is whenever Jesus is 12 years old and his parents had gone back to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And in that story, there are loads and loads of people there in the temple. And the Bible says his whole family is there, Jesus' parents and his brothers and sisters. Everyone is there. And it's a huge celebration. But when the party's over and it's time to go home, Mary and Joseph and the rest of their family start home. They go about a day's journey, the Bible says, but they realize that Jesus was not with them. And it's like a first century of like our movie Home Alone. And all the hustle and the bustle, like they look around, they're like, "Well, where's Jesus?" And like almost like Joseph says to Mary, "I thought you were going to get him." And Mary says, "Beck, I thought you were going to get him instead." And you can see this whole scene playing out there. And that's it. We don't know of any other stories. Nothing else is recorded about Jesus until he turns 30. No pictures of his first birthday party. No first steps. No more making more birthday cake after the first birthday cake ran out, like he changed water into wine. Now there was no cake. Now there's more cake. There's none of that. No marching band, scholastic bowl, senior pictures. There is nothing. All we hear is the reports about how he grew and lived. Luke 2:33 says that his parents were amazed at what everybody was saying about him. Luke 2:52 says that Jesus grew and he increased in wisdom and love. And that's it. Basically, all we know about him is that his hometown was Nazareth, because that's where he shows up in the story today.
In fact, I was thinking about this, and if Jesus were around today and like he had made his own social media profile under like the About You section for occupation, Jesus would have Son of God / Messiah. Like that's what he did in his life. And under hometown, he would have Nazareth because that's where he's from. And so Luke says he's already been out teaching and preaching and sharing the good news, and his fame was spreading all over the country. He had recently just withstood temptation for 40 days and 40 nights, and now he comes home with the people who knew him and loved him, saw him in church, saw him in the synagogue. Here was Jesus, the simple little carpenter's son. So the Bible says on a Sabbath day, he went to worship like he did every single Sabbath day. And there in the midst of worship, he comes to the front and he stands up to read. And like the worship leader up in front of everybody hands Jesus the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. And he unrolls the scroll and he finds Isaiah 61 and he starts to read. And so we can just imagine and like picture this scene taking place. Here's 30-year-old Jesus up in the front reading from his Old Testament scripture, quoting it. And saying that what Isaiah was writing about in this old scroll is being played out through me, that I am the living fulfillment of this. He rolls the scroll back up. He hands it back to the worship leader. And the gospel writer says that as soon as he hands it back, the Bible says literally, all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed upon him. I mean, can't you just imagine that you could hear like a pin drop in the church? Like people's mouths were like hanging down to their knees and like their eyes were like bug eyes. No one knew what to say. I mean, this is Jesus, the carpenter's son. This young guy that we don't know much about in his early years, but they knew all about him. They knew him and they loved him and they watched him grow. And now they're hearing about what God is going to do through him. He's quoting Isaiah saying that he's the one. It was crickets in the synagogue. See what's happening here. What's happening is that like this is Jesus' first recorded words in the Bible. It's like his opening act, naming and claiming who he is and what he's about. And what we realize when we see this taking place is that where Jesus was from and what he did whenever he was young is not that important, because who he is now and what he's going to do with the rest of his life, that is the most important part. I mean, the scroll that he reads says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is who Jesus is and why he is here. More than any history about who he was, this is his mission statement and purpose in life. And this is good news for us. The Holy Spirit is upon him and has anointed him to bring good news to the poor. I mean, this means literally the financially poor who are in real need in our world. It is for them, but not only them. He brings good news to those of us who are poor in spirit, who are broken down and beaten down in life. I mean, many of us are downright through with the world these days, living through these hard times, living through this pandemic. We too are poor in spirit. Jesus comes just for us. The Holy Spirit upon him means that he gives release to the captives, not just those who are physically bound, but those who need release in life. I mean, sometimes we are held captive in an abusive relationship or a dead-end job. We're held captive by what people think about us and what we think about ourselves. Jesus comes to give us release. He comes to give sight to those who need to see the ways in which God loves them, the ways in which we can see God and how God really sees us. He comes out of the blocks with this massive speech to say, "This is who I am." And you could hear a pin drop in the temple. This carpenter's son is the Messiah, is God's witness for us. And he makes us whole. I was reading this story this week. I was reading this story about this friend who was going to meet another friend at their home for lunch. And their house was way out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, like, way out in the country. It's one of those houses that, in fact, some of us live in that is, like, way beyond the city limits, beyond the street lights, like, even beyond, like, most of the road signs, out on dirt, and gravel roads. And so my friend was saying that she had never been to her friend's house before, and so she wasn't quite sure the right way to go. But she was following, like, the directions, like, the best way that she knew how. Turn left on this road and go, like, a mile and a quarter farther and, like, turn right on this other road. And, like, there should be a road sign there. Turn right there. But as my friend was driving down this gravel road trying to count the miles, like, quarter mile, three quarters, mile, mile and a quarter, she kept looking for the sign out in the middle of the cornfield, and she realized there was no sign to be found. Maybe there once was, but now there's certainly no sign. And so she kept on driving, only to find herself completely lost in the middle of nowhere. When she realized that she was totally lost, she actually stopped the car. She called a friend on the phone. She said, "I have no idea where on God's green earth I am at this exact moment. I'm totally lost." Some of us, in our pride, would just keep on driving and driving and driving and driving, pretend that we knew exactly where we were going the whole entire time. I mean, maybe I'm preaching to myself here, but sometimes that happens in our life. We just keep on driving. We're like, "I know the way to go, and we're going to keep on going." But she stopped and she called, and her friend gave her new directions and a different route. And she even said, "I'm going to have my husband go stand on the front porch and, like, wave you down so you know where we live." So she got back in the car and she did this, like, new route, and she traveled a bit farther. And soon up in the distance, she saw somebody standing on a porch, waving their arms like they're trying to flag down an airplane from like 35,000 feet, waving her arms, and she finally found the place. You see, this is what Jesus is like. This is who he is for us. God's Son in the flesh, in the person, imploring us to stop, trying to flag us down. If we need help in life, we can find it in him. If we are lost in life, Jesus gives us direction. If we feel like we need release and hope and love, Jesus is here. The Messiah, God's Son, is here. The simple one from Nazareth calls out our name, flags us down, calls us to stop and find his love, because we're set free. Let us pray. Well, loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, the Messiah, the simple one from Nazareth, Jesus the Christ. We pray that as the Holy Spirit moved through his life, that the same Holy Spirit might move through ours. Help us, O God, to find his love here and now, to stop looking anywhere else, but to find it only in him. Give us release, O God, from all those things that hold us captive. Give us sight so that we can see your love here and now, even shining inside of our hearts. Fill us and bless us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.